Conservative? You bet. Controversial? Right again. It's time to squabble on the Jim Benson Show.
But first, Charlie Kirk states something that's a well-known fact, but he states it very well, and I want this to sink in because this is the reality. The Democrat globalists hate America. They're doing it all on purpose. They're not incompetent. Here it is.
What the Democrats are doing is a deliberate plan of destruction against the United States of America. This is not that Joe Biden does not, well, he doesn't really know where he is, I mean, but that's a separate issue. His team knows what they're doing. They hate the country. They have bitterness for this republic. And they are making intentional steps to ruin it. In the 1970s, there were two Marxist communist political philosophers, Cloward Piven, who wrote a document saying that we are going to turn America into a communist country by doing three things. We will destroy the U.S. dollar by printing trillions of dollars we do not have. We will build a deep state of government agents that will go after everyday citizens and that will absorb the private sector. And we will open up the southern border of the United States to allow tens of millions of third worlders to come into the country. This is called the Cloward Piven strategy. Trillions of dollars we do not have. A deep state administrative state that is destroying the country and is locking up our political dissidents and allowing the third world to come into America. It is not a mistake or an accident what Joe Biden is doing. It is intentional. And therefore, it is evil what he is doing. He is a traitor to the United States of America.
Marxism. Some of us are well schooled on what has become known as cultural Marxism, and many of our fellow American citizens are not, and I can't blame them. Marxist theory is a giant mess of complicated mental illness, but I'm sure you need more information than that. So what if I simply told you that following World War II, a group of Marxist political theorists who seemed harmless after having fled persecution in Nazi Europe after betting on the wrong totalitarian horse, communism, brought their complete disgust for Western culture to Columbia University in New York City and gradually spread their cancer into the government, media, and academic institutions of the United States. Notably, flaring up in the 1960s, as Dr. Theodore Dalrymple put it, these new theories appealed to utopian adolescents who, number one, wanted to deny that they were the most fortunate generation that had ever lived, and number two, dreamed of a life completely without restraints on their pleasure. Giving the baby boomers what they wanted and not what they needed, Frankfurt School adherent, former member of the Brain Trust of the OSS American War Machine, and godfather of the New Left, Herbert Marcuse, along with his contemporaries, engineered a slow-moving Marxist revolution from within American society, utilizing a mass psychoanalytic Hegelian dialectic psyop that is blossoming today amongst the lethargic minds of the millennial generation.
My friend said the Frankfurt School considered psychology one of the main branches of knowledge that had to be integrated with Marxian theory. By no means replacing Marxian theory, but taking it into Marxism.
A synthesizing technique known as repressive tolerance. Thankfully, in the interest of time, Marcuse simplified the definition of repressive tolerance, saying repressive tolerance is intolerance against movements from the right and toleration of movements from the left. Repressive tolerance is achieved by arming the thoughts of emotional, rationally vacant liberals with the potent weapon of critical theory, a hive mentality that produces a catharsis for the self-loathing types of our society when confronting the social, historical, and ideological forces gluing the structures of a society together.
As a nation, we have reached a state of cultural subversion where full-blown treason has become the norm.
People love you, and you win. Woo. And when your son looks at you and says, "Mama, look, you won," bullies don't win. And no. I said, "Baby, they don't," because we're going to go in there, we're going to impeach the mother.
Judicial Watch has been sounding that alarm for some time now, exposing the fact that your tax dollars are supporting your own demise. George Soros' Open Society Foundation's efforts to subvert the populism and anti-globalism sweeping the United States with Marxist division and unyielding self-loathing should ring alarm bells from sea to shining sea. Judicial Watch stated, Soros, with the help of American taxpayer dollars, bolsters a radical left-wing agenda that in the United States has included promoting an open border with Mexico and fighting immigration enforcement efforts, fomenting racial disharmony by funding anti-capitalist racialist organizations, financing the Black Lives Matter movement and other organizations involved in the riots in Ferguson, Missouri, weakening the integrity of our electoral systems, promoting taxpayer-funded abortion on demand, advocating a government-run healthcare system, opposing U.S. counterterrorism efforts, promoting dubious transnational climate change agreements that threaten American sovereignty, and working to advance gun control and erode Second Amendment protections.
And they essentially outsource our foreign policy to Soros front groups.
Now, as I said, George Soros is a billionaire. His groups don't need tax dollars to do their work advancing their left-wing agenda, don't you think?
The moral and rational code of the United States is taking a severe beating. We have no other choice but to prosecute and reject this invasion of intended mental illness spearheaded by enemies of our republic like George Soros, or find ourselves morphing into the madness as our nation enters the point of no return.
John Bound reporting for InfoWars.
While other networks lie to you about what's happening now, InfoWars tells you the truth about what's happening next. InfoWars.com/show.
This fight is no longer between Democrats and Republicans. This is a fight between communism and freedom. It's a very serious fight. That's why millions of traditional Democrats, including FDR Democrats, JFK Democrats, independents, and old-fashioned liberals are joining our movement. Our poll numbers are great. We're uniting forces to end the endless foreign wars, stop the censorship, end weaponization of our government, defend our borders, rebuild our middle class, protect the health of our children, and above all, to restore our republic and vanquish the corruption that's all over Washington, D.C., right now. Before, right at this moment, in my opinion, our country is at the most dangerous level we've ever been. And I hate to say this, but we have a president who went on vacation a week ago, and now he came back and he went on vacation again. And we have people that are fighting all over the place and threatening our country as we speak. I don't think we've ever been closer to World War III than we are right now. It's a terrible thing. Our country is being destroyed by a radical political class that sends our guardsmen and women to defend the borders of distant foreign nations while they surrender our own borders to an invasion right here at home, the likes of which we've never seen before. You missed birthdays and holidays deploying overseas in the global war on terror. Only Kamala Harris is letting terrorists come into our country at record numbers and letting jihadists pour into our homeland by the thousands and thousands and thousands. We can't do that. And while you've risked your lives to defend our rights and liberties and our borders, our opponents have waged war on those liberties from the White House, attacking free speech, censoring dissidents, and trying to put their political opposition in jail. Never happened before. I'm in this fight to defeat the corrupt political class in Washington that's hurting you very badly, whether we know it or not, and to reclaim America's future as a free and sovereign nation ruled by the American people. When I'm back in the White House, we will expel the warmongers, the profiteers, and take over our government, and we will restore world peace, and it will be again peace through strength.
That was a compilation of video clips, which I believe gives you a decent perspective on the grave threats we and our nation are facing today in the upcoming election, now less than 2 months away. In the first clip, Alex Jones plays a video of Charlie Kirk explaining that what we are witnessing is all by plan. That is the madness of truly mass illegal immigration, runaway government spending, much of it now on bringing into and supporting, once here, the hordes of illegal aliens in the USA, as well as decades-long communist and allied globalist infiltration into our government. The next clip is John Bound from AlexJonesInfoWars.com and Band.video websites providing more perspective on the communist takeover of the country through our rigged and stolen elections of recent years. Bound's report is titled The Marxist Rape of America. The next two clips are of President Trump speaking at the National Guard Association's annual conference last month. Trump's remarks further detail the unprecedented crisis and situation we are facing. So hello and welcome to another edition of the Jim Benson Show, conservative talk radio, addressing the issues that concern you here on the BBS radio network. As usual, we have a lot to cover today, so we'll dive right into it, as they say, after a few comments on some current events. Most particularly, last week's presidential debate between Donald Trump and the deep state's newly anointed puppet Kamala Harris, or Kamala, however they say it. And yes, it was obvious to me that Harris was given favorable treatment and Trump was disparaged by the biased hosts of ABC. Harris is reportedly good friends with ABC's executives, including the head of ABC News, if you want to call it news. Whether or not Harris was secretly being given prompts and cues via earring receivers or whatever, as some people have claimed, is unverified at this point. She did refuse to do a debate with Fox News hosting things. And I would agree with some people that I think Trump should skip the next debate because he's going to be treated the same way by another biased news agency that will favor Harris. But she did come off well in the debate, relatively well compared with her demeanor in past public appearances. Doubtless she underwent coaching and practice, as did Trump, I'm sure, before the debate and knew that her usual cackling laughter and so-called word salads of past spur-of-the-moment interviews were not going to cut it against Trump. I thought she did a pretty good job, actually, of cleaning up her political act. Harris, the longtime dedicated, rich, and hypocritical communist and Marxist professor's daughter, is now, to help her fool the public and get elected president, reinventing herself as some kind of supposed political moderate who's concerned about the middle class. She's telling us what she wants us to see and hear. She smiled and shied away or outright ignored Trump's assertions that she wholeheartedly has supported the Marxist takeover of the government and its weaponization against the opponents of communism and allied globalism. She talks about turning the page, hoping to hide and sweep away all that she's done and supported and get the public to see her in a new light as a reinvented, caring politician not pushing communist ideology. And this despite the fact, as I said, that she has always, during the current administration, eagerly and steadfastly supported the traitorous and ruinous acts of Joe Biden and their administration and handlers. And of course, as usual, after the staged spectacle of the debate, the legacy media organizations controlled by their investors, so many of whom have big business still with the Communist Chinese Party and their supporting organizations, the Communist Chinese Party, and these investors supporting and media organizations supporting organizations, released polls showing supposed glowing public praise of Harris, who we are supposed to believe won the debate. Well, as I said, she did much better than many observers expected her to during the debate, aided as she was by sympathetic ABC debate hosts. We should, after all, realize that Harris is not actually the moron she often comes off as in extemporaneous interviews. And as far as experience goes, she has been Attorney General of California, a U.S. Senator from California, and now Vice President. So don't be surprised when tens of millions of ignorant, tricked, brainwashed, or left-wing zealot Americans cast their votes for her. I would have liked to see Trump be more decisive in responding to some of the questions thrown at him during the debate. For instance, I don't believe he ever answered directly about why he opposed the infamous bipartisan disaster immigration bill passed in the U.S. Senate and thankfully killed, at least for now, in the House. This bill, as I understand it, would have made legal the immense illegality the Biden-Harris administration has unleashed on our U.S. government, our U.S. Customs and Border personnel, and those of other government agencies, forcing them to directly violate our country's reasonable immigration laws duly passed by Congress and signed into law by previous presidents. Legal scholar and commentator Mark Levin has said, it's not possible to indict a sitting president, but Joe Biden, for his treasonous abrogation, that is nullification of our nation's immigration laws, should be impeached and removed from office. However, with Joe's partner in crime, the vile, always smug, and self-righteous Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer and the slim Democrat majority in the Senate, almost certain to kill such an impeachment, it appears unlikely anything like that would occur via a vote in the House of Representatives, at least not before the November election. And even if that could occur before November, then Harris, Kamala Harris, would be made president, giving her much greater stature and credibility with voters. Biden said he changed the law on immigration to completely open our borders and not only allow but openly bankroll the illegal entry and support once here of probably some 20 plus million illegal immigration hordes, illegal immigrant hordes, I'm sorry. As Charlie Kirk explained, these people are being brought here and financially supported to help establish a future communist America. While this is having and will in the future have an even greater devastating effect on our country, culture, and government, as Charlie Kirk pointed out, it's all by design and plan of those now substantially in control of our government. And once again, while I am not calling for any acts of violence or illegality in response to these acts of treason against our country, we have to know what we are up against if we are going to defeat it. One of the claims thrown at Trump during the debate was that he has falsely claimed the 2020 election was rigged and stolen. Trump has said the evidence for a stolen 2020 election is overwhelming and irrefutable. But of course, the Marxists, their globalist allies and supporters, always employ their lies and trickery to accuse their opponents of what they are doing. Hence, the communists and globalist agent Hillary Clinton bitterly goes on and on about how Trump supposedly stole the 2016 election with the help of Russian collusion. This is just what her master George Soros and his kind want gullible Americans to believe, despite this ludicrous claim being investigated ad nauseum with zero evidence having been produced to support it. Never mind about the CCP reportedly have their own copy of a super-secret CIA supercomputer system and elections interference program used with it, and waging massive cyber attacks on electronic elections equipment and software across the USA in recent elections. I could go on and on about the evidence of election fraud, but let's look at an analysis of just a few examples of all this alleged fraud in the 2020 election from a report detailing this put out by Donald Trump earlier this year. I found this report on the internet and I'm still looking it over. Here's a video from the Wolves and Finance channel on YouTube with host Zach DiGregorio. I think he describes himself as an accountant. For me, his presentations are refreshing and provide unique perspectives on a variety of interesting subject matter. You can also see more on his website, wolvesandfinance.com, where you can subscribe for exclusive material on current affairs. This video was originally put out earlier this year, not long after Trump released his election fraud report.
Something happened this month that I want to make sure that people do not miss. Donald Trump posted on Truth Social this document. It is a 32-page document containing all the latest information about what has been exposed about fraud in the 2020 election. We're going to walk through this document this week on Wolves and Finance. I need to start this video with a disclaimer. YouTube policy does not allow you to say in videos that the certified results of elections were wrong. So, in keeping with this policy, I will not be saying in this video whether Donald Trump did or did not win the 2020 election. Instead, I'm going to be laying out all the facts. and I'll let you decide for yourselves. What I want you to do is watch this video all the way to the end and then leave a comment down below letting me know what you think. Do you think the 2020 election was stolen? Let me know in the comments below. It's important to understand the context of President Trump's post. He is currently facing a criminal RICO trial in Fulton County, Georgia, because he questioned the results of the 2020 election. The case is based on a bizarre legal theory that Donald Trump knew that he lost the election, but lied about it and committed fraud by trying to convince everyone that he actually won. So the key question in the case was whether Donald Trump was lying when he claimed he won the 2020 election. The district attorney bringing the case against Donald Trump is Fannie Willis. It was revealed in a court filing this week that Fannie Willis has been sleeping with the special prosecutor she hired to handle the case against Trump. The special prosecutor is named Nathan Wade, and he has never filed a RICO case. Fannie Willis has paid Nathan Wade more than $650,000 while they were sleeping together. Fannie Willis has other attorneys working in her office with experience in RICO cases. Why in the world would she pay someone $650,000 who has no experience? It turns out they would then use the money to pay for trips to places like the Caribbean. This looks like obvious corruption, and there is currently a motion filed to dismiss. Let's go back to when the case was first filed. When President Trump was first arrested by Fannie Willis in August, he announced that he was going to release a 100-page report containing evidence of fraud in the 2020 election that would prove the election was stolen. He claimed it was a conclusive report and that all charges should be dropped against me and others. Now, at the time, he never released that report, saying that his legal counsel wanted him to wait until trial. I believe this new report that was just released this month is part of the president's conclusive report. So what is in this new report? It goes through all the swing states in the 2020 election. For each state, it gives a list of bullet points with evidence of fraud in the election. Each one of the bullet points comes with citations to sources backing up these claims. This is important to understand. These are not just random statements of fact. The bullet points are backed up by detailed investigations, which you can then read to get even more information. Now, I'm not going to go through all the information in this report because there is a lot. I'm going to review some of the more shocking highlights. Here is a list of all the swing states with the vote differences. Each of these states was called for Joe Biden, some by very narrow margins. Donald Trump only needed to win three of these states, and he would have won the election. The report argues that Donald Trump actually won all of these five states: Georgia, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Arizona, and Michigan. Let's start with Georgia. In my opinion, this is the most obvious case of fraud. It was reported that Trump lost Georgia by 11,779 votes. In Fulton County, we have video evidence of a poll worker named Ruby Freeman running the same stack of ballots through the counting machines multiple times. Ironically, Ruby Freeman was later given the Presidential Citizens Medal by Joe Biden for her work during the 2020 election. Ruby Freeman has sued Rudy Giuliani for defamation in a Washington, D.C. court. And last month, a mostly Democrat jury awarded Ruby Freeman a $150 million verdict against Rudy Giuliani. In the complaint, Ruby Freeman explains that she did not like that Rudy Giuliani talked about the video of her and that Rudy Giuliani falsely accused her of counting the same ballots multiple times, among other things. She claims that since the election results were certified as correct, that any statement made by Rudy Giuliani is false. Rudy Giuliani was not allowed during the trial to submit one piece of evidence to the court. Now, can someone please explain this to me? How can there be a fair trial if the judge does not allow the defense to present any evidence? That doesn't seem very fair to me. There are some other unusual things about this case. how is this case being tried in Washington, D.C.? Ruby Freeman is in Fulton County, Georgia. Rudy Giuliani's comments were that she engaged in election fraud in Fulton County, Georgia. Why is this in Washington, D.C.? In the complaint, Ruby Freeman explains that Rudy Giuliani's comments were broadcast over the OAN news channel, which has an office in Washington, D.C. Rudy Giuliani also worked in Washington, D.C. as Donald Trump's lawyer. So for that reason, the case went to trial in Washington, D.C. in front of a mostly Democrat jury. Rudy Giuliani has already said that he plans to appeal the verdict. It should be noted that Ruby Freeman's complaint states that this video does not show her committing illegal ballot counting. But we can see with our own eyes that she counts the same stack of ballots multiple times. What should we choose to believe? Her own statement or the video that we can see with our own eyes? What do you think? The problem with Ruby Freeman's statements is that the evidence provides a lot of doubt. In the report from President Trump, it states, Fulton County certified 59,143 in-person votes on Election Day, despite the fact that only 14,152 people had voted as of 5 p.m. on November 3rd, 2020. Evidence suggests the in-person vote total on Election Day was inflated by approximately 37,000 votes. Somehow, a whole lot of votes came out of nowhere from people who did not exist. Could this have come from poll workers counting the same ballots multiple times? Remember that the vote difference in Georgia was only 11,779 votes, and we are talking about a potential 37,000 fake ballots. Another issue in Georgia was the mail-in ballots. It's much easier to cheat with mail-in ballots because anyone can drop it off in the mail. You are relying on the people counting the votes, like Ruby Freeman, to do the honest thing and verify that the ballot is accurate before they count it. Well, it turns out that in Georgia, likely 67,284 votes were cast from voters with invalid residency. These were people who did not actually live in Georgia, but had their vote counted anyway. Remember, the vote difference in Georgia was only 11,779 votes, and just this issue alone would be 67,284 illegal votes. There are many more bullet points about issues in the Georgia elections, but I think you get the point. There is a lot of evidence of election fraud in Georgia, specifically in Fulton County. So it is odd that Fulton County is the place that is criminally prosecuting Donald Trump for asking questions about the election. It also seems like Fannie Willis is attempting to cover something up. The next state is Wisconsin. The vote difference was 20,682 votes. Wisconsin is interesting because they instituted a sweeping new election policy that because of COVID, anyone could request indefinitely confined status. That meant that you were too sick to leave the house and were granted an exception that you could vote by mail without having to show your ID. This resulted in 220,404 votes cast from individuals who were exempted from showing voter ID. That would be incredibly easy to cheat if you never had to show an ID. We are talking about a vote difference of 20,682 votes, and 220,404 votes were cast without an ID. This problem really shows itself when we look at nursing homes. Nursing homes in Milwaukee, Dane, and Racine counties had 100% turnout. So you're telling me that 100% of people in nursing homes voted? Some people in nursing homes are nearing death. So even people who were literally on their deathbeds got up and voted. Something just doesn't sound right to me about that. In one example, Merrill Barrett, who was 104 years old and did not recognize her own children, had a ballot cast in her name in the 2020 presidential election. Okay, now how obvious do we have to get that some funny business is going on? Again, there are many more bullet points about issues in Wisconsin, but I think you get the point. The next state is Pennsylvania. The vote difference in Pennsylvania was 80,555 votes. Now, that sounds like a lot until you find out that there were 121,240 more votes than voters. Pennsylvania uses a voting system called SURE, the Statewide Uniform Registry of Electors. They were never able to reconcile the number of votes that were counted with the number of people who were registered to vote. So the vote difference was 80,555 votes, and there were 121,240 more votes than voters. This is another example where there are many more bullet points in the report, but this one fact alone raises a lot of questions for me. The next state is Arizona. This is the closest vote margin with only 10,457 votes. Arizona did some of the most blatantly illegal things. I don't know if you remember this, but Arizona took a really long time to count their ballots. The election took place on November 3rd. Well, they didn't finish counting the ballots until November 30th. Well, it turns out they were accepting and counting ballots after the election day. These were illegal votes. Here's a quote from the report. Maricopa County accepted 20,500 mail-in ballots after election day. By law, ballots must be received no later than 7 p.m. on election day, which was November 3rd. So the election was over. The deadline was passed, and they were still receiving and counting ballots days after the election was over. These are illegal votes. The vote margin was 10,457 votes. This one example accounts for 20,500 ballots. What makes matters worse is that the Maricopa County Elections Department withheld this information from public records requests for 7 months after the elections. No one knew this was going on until it was too late to protest the election. This looks a lot like cheating. Also, just like in the other states, it looks like some of the votes were completely made up. Two precincts in Pima County had over 100% turnout for mail-in ballots. Can someone in the comments please explain to me how this can happen? Because I'm really having a hard time understanding this. How is it possible to have more than 100% of people vote? How is that possible? What is even more suspicious is the Arizona Secretary of State during the 2020 election was someone named Katie Hobbs. She is the person responsible for running the election. It turns out, 2 years later, she somehow became the governor of Arizona. In 2022, she ran against Carrie Lake. Katie Hobbs miraculously won against all polling predictions, and Katie Hobbs certified her own election count, naming herself the winner. Katie Hobbs' election is still being contested in the courts. With Arizona, there are many more bullet points in President Trump's report, but I think you get the point. The next state is Michigan. The vote difference is 151,188 votes. Now, this is the largest vote difference out of the swing states, and it sounds like a lot until you find out that Michigan has 271,566 more votes than the number of voters listed in its qualified voter file, more than 1.5 times the election margin. Are you kidding me? Are you freaking kidding me? Not only that, Michigan is a state where we have video of ballots being delivered in a van at 3:30 a.m. past the 8 p.m. deadline. This was 50 boxes of ballots, each containing thousands of ballots. How can they count ballots that were received after the deadline? When we look at the ballot counts, we can see the spike that came from the suspicious ballots. Michigan was also the state where we now know there was a police investigation of a company called GBI Strategies. The police raided a GBI Strategies office to find thousands of fraudulent voter registrations. The forms were in the same handwriting and used fake addresses. GBI Strategies was funded by a super PAC called Black PAC, which paid the firm $11,254,919 to register voters for Joe Biden in 2020. These people were not only under investigation for cheating during the election, they were making an awful lot of money doing it. Again, there are many more bullet points in the report, but I think you get the point. So that was the report that was posted by President Trump going through the five swing states in the 2020 election. Again, I'm not going to say whether the election was or was not stolen. I want you to decide. What do you think? Was the 2020 election stolen? Let me know in the comments down below. And if you like this video, don't forget to hit that subscribe button. For some reason, YouTube does not want my videos getting out there. So if you're not subscribed, you're probably not going to see them in your feed. So make sure you hit that subscribe button. Also, if you want to support the channel, the best way is to sign up for a monthly membership on my website, wolvesinfinance.com. My videos get demonetized a lot. So the only way I survive is with support from viewers like you. If you're interested, a membership for $6 a month helps me to continue to put out these videos. I'm Zach from Wolves in Finance. Thank you for watching.
Here's some perspective by your patriot professor, as he calls himself, Dr. Steve Turley, on his YouTube channel recently about the mini poll showing Kamala Harris ahead and winning against Donald Trump.
All the data shows that we have a massive psyop going on right now. We're talking a gaslighting info war operation unlike anything we've seen from the legacy media. And what I want to do for you today is help you make sense of what's really going on right now as we speak in this race. Now, remember, my job as your patriot professor is to help you stay sane in these insane times, not with a bunch of wishful thinking or pie in the sky nonsense, but with real facts, real data that the legacy media deliberately hides from you. That's why we're here. So let's start with the big picture here. Here is the undeniable big picture truth of what is happening as of today, August 15th, 2024, and a blessed Dormition Day to all my Orthodox and Catholic brethren out there. Here's what's really happening as of today. Fact, again, fact. Donald J. Trump is stronger today than he has ever been. He is in a better position to win the White House than he has ever been in. While at the same time, the Democrats and their candidate are weaker than they have ever been against him. I'll say that again. Right now as we speak, Trump is stronger by far. By far, he is in a stronger position to win than he's ever been. While at the same time, the Democrat is weaker than he or she has ever been. Here's the data. According to Real Clear Politics polling average, on this day, August 15, 2020, Biden was beating Trump by over 7 points. Biden was up 7.2. That's just a fact. On this day, August 15, 2016, Hillary was also up by 7 points, 6.8. As of today, August 15, 2024, Kamala is up by not even a full percentage point. She's up by 0.9%. So the fact of the matter is Trump has never been stronger and the Democrats have never been weaker against him. Now, of course, Trump went on to overcome those polling deficits overwhelmingly. He went on to win 2016 as the first Republican to win over 300 electoral votes in 30 years. And he lost, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, he lost by only 40,000 votes in 2020. And this is because, as Harry Enten of CNN has been pointing out, Trump consistently performs about 5 points on average better than his polling. Trump consistently performs an average of 5 points better than his polling. We saw that in 2016. We saw that in 2020. And we have every indicator that we're going to see that again in 2024. So what you have to get here, in my effort to keep you sane in these insane times, you need to break through all the noise and all the propaganda and all the absurdity that's surrounding the polling right now, coming from the legacy media, which we'll get into in a moment. You need to cut through, or better, you need to break through that darkness with the light of the fact that Trump has never been stronger and the Democrat has never been weaker against him. So put that in your pocket and keep that fact with you as you navigate through all this madness over the next few weeks. Now let's talk about that madness. What on earth should we make of all of this crazy polling that shows the single most unpopular vice president in our history suddenly surging to become the most popular human being on the planet? What on earth is going on there? I have a little homework assignment for all of you. I'm your patron professor. I have a little homework assignment for all of you here. If you really want to understand what's happening right now in the polling, you have got to carve out a couple of hours in your schedule and listen attentively to the interview called Inside the Numbers between Rich Barris, the People's Pundit, and Robert Barnes, who you often see on The Duran with Alex and Alexander. We've had both of them on the show, Robert and Rich. They're both amazing. It's a discussion they did earlier this week. It's on YouTube. It's on Rumble. And it is a literal masterclass in polling methodology. I cannot recommend this video enough. It's going to absolutely blow you away. It's going to take you into the deep. It's going to take you on a deep dive behind everything that's good, bad, and ugly in polling and polling methodology. That interview will show you exactly what's happening in the current polling, and it's well worth your time. I listened to it while I was traveling in Europe, and it was by far the best deep dive on polling I have ever come across. So, for example, they show you exactly how Harris's poll numbers are being inflated through something called response bias, right? Which, when all said and done, it involves a polling sample that does not accurately reflect the overall demographics of who actually comes out to vote, either through mail or on election day. So these polls inordinately advantage Democrat constituencies in ways that are completely disproportionate to the actual voting electorate. Moreover, what I found actually most interesting here is that Barris and Barnes are going to show you that there's really no such thing as a swing voter anymore. It's fascinating. There is in the sense that we're talking 1 or 2% of the electorate can be swayed one way or the other. But all of these fraud polls that have been coming out of late are trying to convince you that 10 or 15 or 20% of the population just suddenly swung over to Kamala in the last 2 weeks. There is solid data to show that is emphatically not happening. It's an illusion created by pollsters and pundits who are basically all bought and paid for. It's what Barnes and Barris call a phantom swing. It's not real. We've seen it actually before, back in 2012 and the like, but moreover, they get into something called the recall vote, which is determining who your polling sample voted for back in 2020. Recall to vote is simply who you voted for in the last election. They show Trump has actually lost none of his base. Everyone who voted for Trump in 2020 is going to vote for him again. And remember, he won more votes than any incumbent in history. By the way, that's a clue as to why the media is doing what they're doing here. We're trying to make Kamala look like the second coming. But the truth is, Trump has lost none of his base, whereas Biden and Kamala have lost some of their base. Many who voted Trump in 2016 and then voted Biden 2020 are coming back to vote Trump. Moreover, Harris right now is doing significantly worse with white and non-white working class voters than even Hillary did, which was a disaster for Hillary. Even if Hillary had gotten Barack Obama's level of black vote in 2016, she still would have lost because she lost the white working class vote that badly. And Kamala is doing even worse than Hillary did in that demographic.
Finally today, Here's more from the Alex Jones Show on Infowars.com. This is video from a recent show this month. Alex Jones has been interviewing the new artificial intelligence computer program ChatGPT about political subjects and exposing its inadequacies, biases, and quirks. However, in this video, Jones plays, InfoWars is supposedly relating a narrative from ChatGPT taking Jones' perspective on the threats Americans face from globalism. During the narrative, a younger Alex Jones is shown mouthing the words on globalism given by ChatGPT. I'm not sure if this is being presented as a parody or if it's actually what ChatGPT provided. In any event, it does provide a pretty good description and analysis of what globalism is and does. As commentator and video maker Trevor Loudon puts it, globalism is communism.
Let's go to this quick AI clip. Here it is.
ChatGPT, can you respond in the style of Alex Jones to concerns over globalism as a whole?
All right, let's talk about globalism. This isn't some vague, distant threat. It's here, and it's happening right now. Globalism isn't just a political agenda. It's a coordinated effort by powerful elites,
these unelected bureaucrats who believe they know better than sovereign nations. And it's about centralizing control. This is about taking away the rights of everyday people, stripping away our freedoms, and consolidating power in the hands of a few globalist technocrats who don't care about your family, your community, or your country. The goal is to create a one-world government, a system where your individual rights, your national sovereignty, mean nothing. They use institutions like the United Nations, the World Economic Forum, and other shadowy organizations to push this agenda. They tell you it's all in the name of progress or sustainability. But behind the curtain, they're erasing borders, controlling economies, and surveilling every aspect of your life.
These are the same elites who think they should dictate how you live while they sit in their ivory towers, completely disconnected from reality.
Look at how they use crises, whether it's pandemics, financial collapses, or climate change. These events are manipulated or even manufactured to justify more control, more surveillance, more restrictions, more centralized governance. And the media, they're part of it. They normalize this agenda, downplaying the truth, calling you a conspiracy theorist if you dare question their narrative. This is a battle for our freedom. The fight against globalism isn't just political. It's about defending the very foundations of human liberty. They want to keep you dependent, keep you distracted, and most importantly, keep you controlled. We need to wake up, take action, and expose this tyranny before it's too late. That's what's really happening, folks.
It's time to stand up. Resist the globalists.
Wow. Chase, for people that just tuned in, what question again did you ask ChatGPT to get that answered?
I told ChatGPT to respond in the style of Alex Jones to the concerns over globalism.
If you are like me and millions of other Americans and believe Trump won in a landslide in 2020, you may also be like me and have two key questions about the 2024 election. One, how much cheating will the political left attempt? And two, how much of that will they get away with? We will find out all too soon. That's all for another show. As always, we hope you found today's content of interest and value. You can watch and or listen to a podcast of today's show when it's posted shortly on the Jim Benson Show pages here at bbsradio.com and elsewhere on the internet. Look for us again with another show 2 weeks from today in this same time slot, and have a great rest of your day and evening.